This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
The moment that comes for everyone. Has come for Chris Nielsen.
You've died, Chris.
If heaven is a place where you know only joy.
Screwed up. I'm in dark heaven.
You're creating an entire world here. From your imagination, from anything you want.
Where you feel no more fear.
I'm gonna drown.
You can't. You're already dead.
Oh. And anything you can imagine is real.
It's your world.
That'll change in time.
Time does not exist here. And wherever it went, it's not going to make me need Annie any less.
And how far would you go?
You never see her.
I'm her soulmate.
To get it back.
I can find her.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm back. It's like I'm actually consistent on some level. I have another guest this week, and her name is Athena.
Hello.
Hello. I'm so excited you're here.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. This is fun.
Yeah. And if you guys heard the opening, actually, I'm not even sure what my opening is going to be yet. So by the time you get here, it'll be something, the music or the preview. But Athena picked a movie because, you know, I always ask the guests to pick the movie. And you picked What Dreams May Come, which I had never seen. She's just like... Yeah. And and we were just chatting and I was actually just being honest saying that like I didn't really love this movie. I don't want to say it's dumb because the concept is not dumb, but it just didn't piece together as well as I'd hoped, I think. I'm trying to be kind because I love all the people in it. But then we oddly just started coming up with some other stuff, and you mentioned Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
And really, if you guys are with us now, the topic is kind of life after death.
Yep.
I think, if I were to come up with one. And these two movies actually are really great ones to talk about. And we're going to probably just talk about both, and we'll probably talk about death, and we'll probably talk about who the hell knows, because you are... in the world of this. And
I'm in the world of it.
Yeah. And so actually, I'll give you a minute to introduce yourself and share and plug and anything you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those who don't know me, I'm Athena, and my pen name, Seaside Shaman. I actually work at the end of the block here in the wellness studio upstairs. I co-own that. And I work full time as a shaman. So I'm working with clients all over the country, from Delaware to California, and I've even had a few outside of the country. Now, with all of the changes of the last year, I have more clients on Zoom and phone. So it's been actually quite beautiful to be able to expand and connect outside the boundaries of physical geographical space in the last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of my work is with the spirit world, and with the afterlife, and with the soul level work, very deep healing work. So not surprisingly, my favorite movies of all time all relate back to the realms in which I walk.
It's funny, and now I have like a million questions already.
Yeah, totally.
So just real quick for people, guys, if you're with us and you're like, what's a shaman? Maybe tell people, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, but like, let's educate people.
Yeah,
because they might have shamans, and I know people in Botswana apparently are listening. Guys, go find a shaman if you know what that is.
Yeah, we're all over. So I mean, it would be super fun for you to explain it because you've been to me.
Oh, man, I don't, you know what's funny is I don't know what to say. People are like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I went to my friend Athena, she's a, I don't know, she does... Just go check it out. I don't even know what to say. I'm you do a lot of different things.
I do
around
a lot of different
this
things.
In this area, this field, and I do think as of the past, specifically a couple years, this past year, it seems like this kind of these kind of therapies and these new ways of handling the usual things that people have issues with, whether it's their physical, their mental, you know, people would just go to a therapist. But now people are going and trying all these different ways of holistic medicine and different approaches. And I think it's not as uncommon. However, I think for some people it still is quite like, what is that?
So I love when we can attack our wellness, looking at it as like the Holy Trinity. So they use, you know, it's pretty common. You'll hear like mind, body, and spirit, or mind, body, and soul. So if you think of a therapist as someone who supports the mind, and you think of your physician, whether it's a naturopath or an integrative physician or a traditional physician, they support your physical body. And the third aspect, which more people are beginning to understand, is that the spirit and soul body also needs to be tended to. And so that's where shamans and various alternative energy practitioners start to come in. So my work is with the soul. I do a lot of past life work. I do inner child work. We work across time, back, present, future, whatever's needed for the soul, because the soul exists outside of time.
So deep, dude. I'm already sitting here. I'm like, oh my God. It is funny. Sorry to interrupt you. It's like, well, because I think we walk around in our, like, I joke because I, now guys, I'm on such a tangent, and I'm going to say, preempt this with, we may never talk about a movie here. I don't even know what's going to happen. But I literally, like, listen to a lot of things like this now. I'm open to it. Like, I listen to Tara Brach, and I love her term of, like, we're in our spacesuits, if you guys listen to her. And shout out to Tara Brach as well and her podcast. But I'm in my spacesuit all day. I'm in this little thing, beep, and then I sit with you, and you're like, inner child, past life. You know, I'm like, whoa, I'm not even. Then I suddenly realize, like, I'm there's so much more going on than what I'm even thinking of right in this moment. And that blows, you know, when I hear you talk about it, it kind of goes, it makes me realize that again.
And then I go, there's a lot.
There's a lot. So. And interestingly, I'm going to jump, now I'm going to jump into the movie, because now I'm realizing. Well, you just mentioned this. So you've had this from a young age, I assume. And I always like to say on here, what I love about asking people to pick their movie is it says a lot about who you are, because we gravitate towards things in our lives that, in movies, in art, that I think are like kind of clues and little, like, you know, avenues into figuring out who we are, especially when you're young. I always think it's interesting what I used to gravitate towards in terms of movies when I was young. And oddly enough, I'm not really a big, I wasn't really big into this until the past few years, but my whole life I've been obsessed with ghost movies.
How about that?
My mom too, and we have been obsessed with, like, which has turned into horror, but I mean, even from a very young age, I just love the idea, and also kind of scared of ghosts. Which is interesting. And I wonder, I want to ask you, did you, are there like, I don't know, is there anything like that where you kind of noticed?
In my childhood?
Yeah, whether it was a movie or something else that you were kind of noticing, like, I'm really interested in that and I don't know why.
So I'd say one movie I remember, so besides Beetlejuice, because we were talking about childhood, and like I watched Beetlejuice like repetitively. Like I knew every word to the movie. I would act it out. But also there was a movie called Drop Dead Fred. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I feel like, cause I'm older, I know what it is. Let's look it up, but go ahead. Continue.
So when I guess I was probably about, I don't know, six or seven. And, around that time I was seeing things. I would see, you know, at the, now I understand that they were spirits, but at the time I was told that they were imaginary friends.
I have seen this movie.
And so, I came across that movie, and I remember the main character, everyone thought she was crazy. She was actually institutionalized, because she had this imaginary friend that stayed with her from when she was a child to when she, he made a reappearance later when she was an adult in the movie. And you would see her kind of going around, and you'd see all the other kids with their imaginary friends, and then they'd wreak havoc in her world. So as a kid, for me, I love that movie because it made me feel less crazy.
That's awesome.
Right. And it was like, okay, so they're okay. So people, you know, here's a materialization of kind of like what I'm experiencing. And I took comfort in that. So I'd say like movies like that and like Little Monsters, where these kids.
So many people talk about Little. You're not the first one on here to talk about Little Monsters.
And it would be like these kids where they had these like, you know, these figures that nobody else could see. There were so many. There was a movie called Ghost Dad with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So I remember like being really into those, where there were things that the kids could see, but like grown-ups and, you know, others couldn't see. Because that's what I was dealing with at that time.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, all right, guys. I'll give you, because now we just added a third movie. So we'll see what we do. No, but that's really, I'm glad. Yeah. This is what I like to know. And also, I just find it really interesting. But okay, so if you're curious, well, first of all, What Dreams May Come is 1998. It is a movie directed by Vincent Ward. It stars Robin Williams, Cuba Gooding Jr., I'm going to say her name wrong, Annabella Sciorra.
Sciorra, I think.
Which
so.
Is, I'm Italian, so I'm really failing here.
You are.
I am. Sciorra.
Yeah,
Sciorra.
There you go.
Annabella Sciorra. Let's just go there. Okay, so it has actually Max von Sydow. He's like a very established older actor. Mm-hmm. And there are a few other people here. I'm not sure exactly, but those are the headliners, I would say, specifically Robin Williams. I think it's really, well, it's weird. It's her story too, but I think he's like the main person. Mm-hmm. And this movie, I'll just give you the description. Chris Nielsen dies in an accident and enters heaven. But when he discovers that his beloved wife, Annie, has killed herself out of grief over the loss, he embarks on an afterlife adventure to reunite with her. They're leaving out a whole part about everyone else dying.
I know. I was just thinking that. I was like, damn, they didn't even mention the kids.
I know. I guess they just felt like, let's not complicate the story with this.
They're like, nobody will watch this if we say that the kids
died. You're right. They were probably worried about that. But there's suicide in there with no problem. So that's the first one. And the other one I really want to compare it to, in a way, is Beetlejuice. And if you guys need me to explain Beetlejuice to you right now, just get with it. I know this is a movie from the 80s, but I feel like it's always being replayed on TV.
Totally.
And if you haven't seen Beetlejuice, you have to see Beetlejuice. I'm sorry. Yeah. You just have to see Beetlejuice. It's super fun. It's super creative. Mm-hmm. And it's, in my mind, like such a classic, awesome movie on all levels. Even kids can watch this movie and not get freaked out, I think.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah. And so that's Tim Burton directed it. It has Alec Baldwin, Gina Davis, Michael Keaton. It's 1988. It's comedy fantasy, actually. I know, and people thought of this movie as a comedy.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of a weird.
Yeah.
I love that he's able, Tim Burton, to do that, to take something that's kind of dark and touchy and make it funny and accessible for everybody, even some little kid that could be like, Beetlejuice, you know? Like, how many times in Halloween do you see somebody in a Beetlejuice costume?
Right. Oh, classic.
Classic Michael Keaton, too. Killing it. Prime Michael Keaton time when he was still a funny guy. and, of course, my obsession when I was young, Winona Ryder.
Oh, me too. Loved her.
And she made such a comeback with Stranger Things, thank God. Mm-hmm. Which also, I should do a whole show on Stranger Things. I loved that show.
Me too.
Did you love it?
Yes.
I need to like rewatch how amazing that show is. And that's got everything in it too.
Alternate reality.
Yes, planes and like
all the things.
The Upside Down and D&D. I mean, it's got everything.
D&D.
And it's got Winona as a mom.
Yeah.
So awesome. But let's first talk about What Dreams May Come.
Okay.
Should you start or should I? What do you want to share? Anything to share before I get into it?
I mean, I would love. Yeah, you can go right into it.
Okay, I can take over. So
yeah, go in.
Okay, so I will say this movie. It's weirdly it's timely for me in ways that are. This is what's weird about your age and your experience. And I always talk about this on here. Where you're at in life, it means so much about your viewing experience of anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I would have, even though I thought the movie wasn't done perfectly well. I thought like it had amazing images in it. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. What insane ideas with the paintings and the setups of all those things. And then his journey of not only trying to find his wife, but to reconcile his life choices.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like and kind of grappling with the ways that he went about it and then having realizations along the way about those things, which were really, I think, a really important part of the story that could have gotten, I think it needed more time or something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For me, I would not have been able to see this movie 10 years ago and even take it slightly seriously.
How about that?
I would have been like, this is, what the fuck is this? Like, this is, like, I believe in ghosts and I like that stuff, but I might have seen it as like, I wasn't there. I wasn't at the age I'm at now.
Yeah.
Do you, when did you see this movie? I guess I'll ask.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out. Like, yeah.
Okay, so that
Wait, that's not 10 years ago, though.
It's more
what
than
year 10. What year are we in now?
It's like 30 years. No.
I think 98. It's 98.
It's like 20 years ago.
Is it? Oh, my God.
I know. No, let's not date ourselves.
Whoa.
Don't worry, everyone.
Time is.
If
like
you've seen it, don't worry.
Old.
You're not that old. It's okay.
It's, yeah. So I guess it was 20.
It's 20 years ago.
23 years ago.
And I wonder how this was received by people then.
Right. Well, there were some awake people at that time that it might have hit in a certain way, and then some who might not have, you know, been so open to those layers.
Yeah.
Of the movie, but I feel like right now we're going through such an awakening in the last like 5 years, I keep saying to people.
Yeah, true.
So it's like, you know, Gaia TV is huge now. I don't know if you've heard of Gaia TV.
Oh my God, yeah.
Right?
And so even Insight Timer is like Insight a whole,
Timer.
And you're on Insight, plug.
I'm on, yeah.
Athena is on Insight Timer.
I am. I have meditations on there.
Check it out.
insighttimer.com/ Seaside Shaman.
Yeah. No, seriously, go check it out.
Yeah. But it's true. It's like now a lot of these concepts, people are hungry for them. Mm-hmm. Like you're looking for shows to validate these different realities that we're inhabiting. And people are looking for proof of the afterlife because, well, we became really disconnected from it. Right. So if you think back like hundreds of years ago, maybe thousands of years ago, when someone passed in our world, like, we didn't fear that. Grief was a very different experience. We knew what was on the other side. We had faith in it.
Yeah, right? And it's different than religion because I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
It's okay. I'm not going to go there. I won't start. I know I've said a lot of stories about me being a Catholic. I'm not going to tell that story about Sister Rose again, I promise. Okay. But religion is a little different because I have really religious, not religious really, but my mom is in a different realm of this thinking.
Yeah.
She believes in the afterlife, but it's like heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And they do touch on this in this movie, which I was wondering if this was like a bit coming from that kind of religious perspective. Because some people really have trouble with the concept of hell.
Yeah. And I think in the movie, what they were trying to do was to actually debunk the myths of what hell is. And like, you know, there's the one scene where Robin Williams' character is like going off when he learns that his wife committed suicide and that she is not in his heaven, and he like doesn't give Cuba Gooding the chance to explain, and Cuba's trying. He's like, no, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying she's in hell, that's not what I'm saying. And you know, hell is a different thing. And he's like, but people with suicide, they go to a different place. And he's trying to explain it. And Robin Williams is like, no. He's like shouting at him like, no, that's not okay. Yeah. I don't want to hear. So there's a lot that he didn't want to hear, didn't want to see. And I mean, I don't know if I'm jumping too far ahead. But
no,
I think
we're
going to
jump around, guys. This movie is wacky.
A lot of the movie, I feel like, is us witnessing the main character, Robin Williams, Christy, in the movie, his inability to see what's in front of him. So he's struggling breaking through illusions. So for me, when I watch that movie, I see like, okay, so when we're here in this world in the 3D alive, so we think, right?
You need like weird music.
You need weird music.
I'm going to add it. Go ahead.
So we're like, we're literally walking around with illusions, lots of illusions all around us. And we can create a lot of them. You know, we can create a lot of them. And so the movie, he dies and he's waking up in his own creations. And so he's being guided to see, like, look, like this, you're creating this illusion. You're creating this world that you're in. You have full control over this world, which actually we also have control over this world, right?
Oh my God.
Super wild.
I need to take notes or something. Okay, so, go ahead. So I'm going to try to follow along.
So I feel like in the movie he's trying so hard to, like, he's so laser focused on, like, getting to his wife where she is, that he's still struggling to break through the illusions that are in front of him, and he's missing a lot along the way. And I feel like that echoes kind of what happens to us in life, in this world as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a really, there are touching moments in it, even though we are jumping past the beginning where all of his kids die in a car accident.
Yeah.
Which is really a pivotal, they don't give that much time. No. I think they try to backtell it later a little more because you get to see her in the mental, whatever. What do you call that? It's not like a mental institution. It's she's in a place.
Yeah.
And like she's obviously tried to kill herself before. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they kind of give you these nuggets along the way, which help the story. But I did think that was really interesting the way they were showing his version of like what this is, this afterlife. And even that idea of being disillusioned, even in there, there's disillusion.
Yep.
And as he becomes more open and more aware, those things become clear too.
Right.
And just, you know, if you guys are coming here and you haven't seen it, please go see it. But one of the biggest ones is the thing with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah.
Which is his son.
Yeah. And it took him a while to realize that.
Because he's being fooled by the perception of what he sees, which is the exterior of the person.
Yeah.
Which that was actually a cool trick. I remember that part and I was like, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice, you know, like be careful about your spacesuit.
And it's like who he want, like they flash back to the scene at his son's funeral and he starts talking about this person that his son never got to be or to meet. And I feel like that's really reflective as a parent too on the fact that we project, or even as a partner, like we project onto other people what we think we want them to be and what they're not, right? So the movie, you see him and his son kind of grappling with the expectations he has of his son and his son struggling to meet those expectations, and then the projections to where in the afterlife his son doesn't even look like how he remembered him because he looks like something that someone who he actually accepted in life. And the same with his daughter. His daughter felt that she needed to look like something different because she recalled her father pointing out how beautiful Asian women were on
that
an airline.
That was awesome too.
Right?
Wow.
And she was like, you know, I took this form because one time on an airplane, my father, the flight attendant looked like this and my father pointed out how lovely she was. And so then that became her ideal of what a lovely woman looked like. And that's the form that she took. So again, that plays into like in this world, when we're not on the other side, how we project and how we feel like we have to look a certain way or meet someone else's expectations in order to be loved and accepted by them.
Man, it's so wild. Tricky.
It's so tricky.
Because you can't, even when you get awareness, it's like, how do you stop doing that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you remember to not? It's hard, but I do think the movie, and I wonder, like, in the writing of this, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot of all the things that I know you talk about, even I've talked about with you, past lives and all these things, especially now I'm jumping to the end, but the way they end that movie, which I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And it was weird because it was like a decision.
To reincarnate.
Yeah, it wasn't, it felt, am I wrong or did they decide to do that?
They decided
to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, that's what we do.
I don't know, man. That's do I have to do this again? Really?
No, it's a choice. It's always a choice.
I'm sure if it's over,
but
it's like,
you know,
the roller coaster. You're like, oh, that was kind of cool. Let's go again.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it totally is.
Wow.
It totally, and like, how healing, though, to go through that healing on the other side and then to make that decision. Like, yeah, that hurt like hell, but the love was so powerful. Let's do it again, right? Because you think sometimes with things like grief and hurt, like, I don't want to feel this again, you know. When you're in your human form, hurt is so extreme and grief is so extreme. And
true,
you think,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this again and again. And then somehow on the other side, you decide to do it again.
So funny.
It's wild.
It but really is. Yeah. I mean, I have another question now.
Or
just a thought I'll share we can talk about. There's a lot. There's the it's funny too. Now I'm jumping around. Sorry. Mm-hmm. So there isn't really hell where she is, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but it's like her version of, I feel like hell is really just a version of what your hell is because you're trapped in your own illusion. You're trapped mm-hmm. in your own mm-hmm. stuckness. So that yep. is the hell actually, yeah. is that she's unable to see out right. of where her, where she is. But there is a lot of hell looking, like they visualized yeah. it with like bodies and yeah, it was like yeah, very, yeah. And it actually looked like paintings a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she had that, she had the one painting that was pretty, pretty, hellish where she was yeah. like a gaunt figure. And damn. Then that was kind of like a precognition of herself in the afterlife. Yeah. Like there was some
so do you
imagery.
Think that like, and you can answer however you want. Not yeah, that you, I totally. Mean, how did you relate to that with your experience? Like, did you think, is there, in your mind, is that true? Or is that, like, hell is like a, I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know, like when you're a kid and you're like, that's a bad guy and that's the good guy. So, right. like, heaven and hell when I was a kid right. was like, heaven was this and yeah. hell, everyone's on fire. Like, so yeah. how would you translate that in a realistic way if you could put yeah. words to it?
So, again, there's like, so we...
I know. I'm asking you a really hard question.
Not, I mean, for me, not too much. But if you can think like we live in such a multi-dimensional reality. So mm-hmm. Even in the afterlife, it's very big and broad. Like this world is very big and broad. So even in another dimensional reality, once we've crossed over, that's why we use the language crossover. Because if you think of it, it's like, we live in like a holographic reality, so we never like just disappear. We're still here.
It's not like Star Wars where I just yeah. and the outfit falls and you're yeah. like Obi-Wan.
And then he's just gone.
There's a robe here. Gone. Where yeah. did Tiffany go? Her outfit is on the floor. I mean, actually, yeah, that
but
would
you
be
know
so...
he comes back though. He comes back because you hear his voice and you see him in meditation and like he comes back.
Dude, Star Wars it's has got same. Everything. It's so same. Intense.
I love Star Wars.
Oh, it's so good, right?
Yeah, that's
how
a whole
can you? And
other
that's
day.
Why, honestly, and that now I'm off on a sidebar, but yeah. like, why is it so universally huge? Why is Star Wars like the epitome of yeah. like the movie industry?
Oof. Yeah.
Guess why, everyone? Look at it.
Yeah,
it's tapping into things people don't even know they're watching.
Yeah,
they're like they don't even know why. They're like, yeah. oh my god, Star
yeah,
Wars!
It's
like
so real, so layered,
so
layered.
Crazy. Okay, so
yeah, so in terms of like hell and heaven and this kind of concept, I do work with the other side. I do work with souls who have crossed over. You know, some people call it mediumship. That's
right.
That's a tool that I do work with. It's helpful when I'm helping someone with grief. Grief is a beast, right?
Tell me about it.
So, yeah. So, connecting with a loved one who's like very present, who the grieving person didn't realize was or needed a message from, that can be just that like key to help unlock the soul of this person in front of you so that they can be free from their pain. So, I've had one encounter with someone who was in what we would call a hell.
Dude.
And it was a young guy. He had committed suicide. He had lived with schizophrenia, but he wasn't there because of suicide. Because I've worked with souls who have passed from suicide, and they're like angels are here. They're helping their loved ones.
All right, well, that's helpful.
Yeah, so
guys,
suicide doesn't send you to hell.
If you're religious and you're yeah. scared that like
suicide
somebody you knew committed
you
suicide.
It doesn't. No.
They're going to be okay.
So, but here's the thing that is important to know is that by you believing that someone will go to hell, you can help to send them to
stop
a
it.
Place that is like hell. So this young man that I
is that because
helping,
they believe it too?
Yeah. So he grew up Catholic, and his family had really ingrained a lot of beliefs into him around hell.
Oh wow!
And so I had to work with a family member of his to help to free him from this place that he was stuck in, which was very much looked like hell to me. But we were able to free him from this place, but he didn't know that he didn't have to be there.
That's so like the movie.
Yeah. He thought that he had to be there. He thought this was where he was supposed to be. So our work was to go to him to help him out of this place and let him know that you don't belong here. You know, this is where you thought you needed to be, but you don't need to be here. And we freed him from that place. So even if someone has gone to a place that resembles hell in whatever way, we can still support them out of that place.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, that kind of literally happens.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And what's, it's so weird. And to me, you know, the key unlocked to her was her guilt.
Mm-hmm.
She felt responsible for the deaths of her children.
Her children. Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, come on. I mean, I think all parents can't help the responsibility sometimes we feel over our children's
right.
lives. And even things like that, that, sorry, Tom, our Supreme Leader, has just made an appearance. Everyone, check out that Tom show. He's waving at us through our studio window. But, like, she had this tremendous guilt and shame and, mm-hmm. or, you know, whatever over this that she could not let go. And I think that's really, this is like we're in a city right now. Yeah. What is happening?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like we're on ABC like, or something, the morning show.
It's like in Milton.
They don't know where we are. We're on astral planes, people. We're jumping. So.
Milton, Delaware.
So she realized, he helps her realize.
Yeah.
This isn't your fault, right?
Yeah.
I have one gripe with this movie. And it's only because I'm personally going through something that is affecting my viewing experience. Hello.
Yeah, you're human.
The concept that, you know, there's a lot of love romantic movies, okay?
Yeah.
They kind of push this ideal for all people, not just, I used to say little girls grew up with this, with Disney and like, the prince is going to save me and I'm going to be a princess. You know, but like, honestly, life is not like that.
Mm.
And I think not that everybody grows up and they still think they're going to like have this,
right.
but there are a lot of movies that perpetuate this concept of, you know, long lasting, true love, right. soulmates.
Right.
I'm not saying I don't believe in it.
Yeah.
I do think sometimes these movies like to play on that idea. People like to watch it.
Yeah.
And I did think like it's a trigger for me because I've shared on here my Al-Anon stuff. And, you know, he's there and he's there. But suddenly he's like, fuck the rules. I'm going to get my woman. And he like makes even it his mission for them to.
Right.
Which I think is cool, but it's also like, really? Like,
it can't, it can definitely, I see what you're saying.
Do you get
saying.
What I'm trying to say? Which totally. Is I'm not, sorry guys, I'm not trying to be like the party buster or the fun buster. I know everyone likes a love story.
Yeah.
I'm not into them right now, but whatever. So it's just like, but like, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know if I am either.
Did you? Oh, see? Here we are. Next time on the Breakup Podcast. We will have another episode. Sorry. so that's a whole other show. But I do think.
Well, there's that scene where he's with Cuba Gooding. And
maybe let you just take over with your thoughts on that.
So, there's a scene where they have the discussion about soulmates where he's like, Ron Williams is already dead. He's mm-hmm. in his heaven, so the one thing that I love the most about the movie, which I think is so beautiful, is that his idea of heaven is one of his wife's paintings. So
that's
he's
cool.
like in
yes.
her painting and he's like that. Running through fields of like these painted flowers and
that
it's
was very
squishing
cool.
and it's like, whoa. And then he's able to like animate and bring this world to life with his own power as he learns his power. But then there's the scene where you're kind of split and you're seeing him in this heaven, that's her painting, but then you're seeing her on the other side still living and grieving and suffering greatly. And she's painting a new painting that's darker.
Mm-hmm.
And she paints this dark purple tree and it shows up in his world instantly because he's in her painting. And then he's like, that's new. Oh my God. Like what? And then Cuba Gooding's character's like, excuse me. He's like, whoa, this is such a rare thing where two people have such this strong connection even in the afterlife. You know, they're like twin souls and da-da-da-da.
So yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you.
The whole soulmate thing. And then, but like the connection's so strong that it causes her still so much pain because she's feeling the love and the pain, the grief at the same time. So the lesson really is the importance of him detaching from her so that she can be independent and free of him. So I feel like, too, when we're talking about, like, breakups and, like, soulmates and all these things, and we have these beliefs around longevity with soulmates, you know, and there's so many different teachings on soulmate relationships. Some of them are, oh, you meet and then you have a family and you have kids and you stay together for 60 years and then you die together. You know, that's one idea. And some soulmates, they come in very specific times. You know, I've heard of people who actually know a couple in this area that the woman was engaged to someone who she loved very much, and he died in a terrible accident. And she was a nurse, and she goes to work, and not too long after, a man comes in with an injury, and she falls in love with this man. And he came in perfect timing to help to heal her heart.
Okay. It's not the same person, is it?
What's that? No. But, you mean like in the movie, like him reincarnated?
Yeah, like, wait a minute, it's him.
But
yeah,
it's okay, like, you sorry. Know, she had
That's
multiple
I just wrote a whole other
soulmates,
movie.
Right? It was like, okay, you're going to have this experience with this person. They're going to teach you this thing, and they're a soulmate. And then, unfortunately, they're going to have to go, and it's going to hurt really badly. But then this other person's going to come in, and they're going to light your world up and bring you so much joy. And so there are multiple soulmates, but in the movie, you only get to experience that couple, which also does happen. Hmm. It's almost like it depends on the individual's, they plan out their life. Remember, like in the end of the movie, they're like, okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to go back in. And then they decide like what country they're going to be born in. And then they know that they're going to find each other again.
New Jersey.
Yeah, what wasn't one in India, I think?
I don't know.
One's born like in India and like, you know they're going to be born in like these two very far away places, but that they're going to find each other.
Yeah,
that's super
cool.
But with the concept of soulmate, though, I think it's really helpful understanding that, like for me personally, a soulmate is not only a love interest, but like I say that, you know, my mom was my soulmate and my daughter is my soulmate.
Yes.
And I've had friends, soul sisters. So it's not only a romantic partner, and then you'll have multiple soulmate romantic partners in your life where you'll look back and you'll think, wow, like that person definitely shared a piece of my soul. So yeah, hopefully that's helpful, but in the movie they don't really explore too much of the romantic aspect of multiple soulmates.
No, they just, it's that very Hollywood, like, and now they're again living their united lives, whatever. Like I'm just in a weird place right now, so
Right.
But I do, I tell you, it's a good idea, and it's like comforting on some level, but I think for some of us, it can be trouble, that thought.
Yeah, of one soulmate.
Or just like, maybe multiple's better.
Yeah.
And now we're just, like I said, we're going all over. I told you guys we're going to get deep with this, but, and I think it in the movie, it's still continuing along this, even though it's not super romantic, it's this idea that they both need each other to survive their pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some soulmates are to provide the pain.
Yeah. Well, in the movie.
Can I say that?
The movie, I feel like they did, though, because.
Did they show that, too?
I feel like there's like a couple of scenes where he's dead and he's like right with her and he goes to try to put his arms around her and she can kind of feel him there and then she loses her
shit. She screams a couple times.
So it's like, it's that like,
she can't handle it.
That love is so intense that it makes the pain so intense.
Wow.
Right. So it's it's both. It's experiencing both. And really, you know, what I was saying is what she needed in that time was for him to step away. And finally he does. He finally runs. When she has that full on like emotional breakdown after he hugs her because she can feel it. And then there's a time where she's like journaling.
That seems pretty crazy.
He's talking to her and he's like trying to will her to write what he's saying, which is like, I still exist. Right. Which I think is beautiful in terms of like loved ones who cross over, but also like when a relationship here is ending and you feel like, okay, we're separate, but being okay with that separation and knowing that love can still exist even with the separation, right? So, like, in the movie, he's saying, I still exist, and they're being separate, you know, in separate realms, but the love can still be there. It's still there. That's wild. So I wrote a book. That's literally what the book is.
You know,
get
a little closer to this mic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to talk quieter so I don't, because I'm allowed on here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry. So, I always feel bad in mentioning it, but then I'm like, just tell them to get closer.
Yeah, just get closer. So, in the book, I talk about that exact thing, which is when you're separate from someone you love, whether it's through death or physical space, you know, perceived space, that the love can still exist, and it does still exist, you know, honoring, like, what did this person offer to me? What did they teach me? What did they give me?
Okay.
And it helps you with that separation.
I'm going to read that
thing. Yeah, please do. I think I gave it to you.
What's it called? Plug it?
My book, Leave With Love.
I'll put all these links in your
Leave
episode.
With Love. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's wow. Wild. See, this is what's awesome right now about this conversation is that I was like, this movie's dumb. And now I'm like, this movie is everything. But like, it's because the concepts are so good.
Yeah.
And
it is so deep.
I bet it's better on the second watch for me.
Maybe.
Probably.
Maybe.
Because I think on the first watch, I'm like, what is happening? Why? And this?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
What?
You're like looking for like, you're look. Well, also because you're a movie person, like you're a real movie person, so you're probably looking for a specific order of things, and like you said, like timing. Like it's like when you're into music and you're like, you expect for the music to kind of follow a certain like pattern of flow, and
there's just little things. Yeah, like I always say this, and it's such a dumb simple thing I learned in film school when I took one writing class.
You went to film school.
I did, but one thing they do in the beginning of movies that is really simple and it's really key,
And
it doesn't happen. It's like, I know it now because I had to do exercises around it. And we watch movies and he'd be like, see, look, they did it every time.
Yeah.
Something, if you want to care about the people, because that was the problem. I didn't care about them right away.
Yeah.
And you want your audience to care about the characters. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, and they have this person wrote a book called Save the Cat, whatever. I've talked about this before. But usually your main character will do something very early that will reveal who they are. And make the audience like them.
Mm.
And the reason they say, and I'm sorry I'm being repetitive, save the cat, because it's as simple as like some guy walks along the street and there's a cat in the tree and he saves it. Mm-hmm. Now you like this person. Oh, look, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything real
to make you
simple.
Love them.
There were a lot of characters right away, and I know he meets her in the boat, but maybe that's supposed to be the moment. But then it jumps into their family, and I'm like, what am I?
Yeah. I feel like that moment came, like, a little later. Now that you're talking about that.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking. But I feel like that moment came. The moment when
I know
I
what
was
it
like,
is.
I love him, where he's at work with a little girl.
Nailed it.
And then, like, there's a little girl that draws the pee on the wall. And he's like, oh, that painting's been waiting for 10 years. But then when his wife calls him and she's so distressed about her paintings not being there, et cetera. And he, like, goes and pulls the slides out of the drawer.
That was a great scene.
He pins them up. And he's, like, you know, telling her how she can do. He, like, solves the problem for her. And then she's like, but how am I going to get across town? He's like, I will grab them on my way home. And I, in that moment, I was like, this is a man that loves his woman and is so connected to her work. Like, he's passionate about her work. And I was like, I want that.
You know what? And you're right. That is where I clicked into the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That exact scene. And I was just thinking that exact scene. Yep. And I'm like, why didn't that happen at the very beginning?
Right.
Because I was waiting the whole time, like, who, what am I supposed to be with this person or that one? And what?
Right.
But so that's my only gripe there. But because he is such a great character and he does love her more than anything.
Yes. Mm.
And it's so obvious as the story goes on. My God, I feel like I've already kept you here for like almost an hour. Should we talk about Beetlejuice really quick?
We could.
Do you have a few minutes to do that, or should I do like a whole other episode?
No, I mean, we can if you want to.
Can we?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Athena.
Of course.
Just stop time and we'll be able to do whatever we want.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're going to jump into Beetlejuice, guys. If I need to return to this topic, I will do some other stuff. But we're going to go, let's go into Beetlejuice. And I'm just really quick, if you guys, did I mention the Beetlejuice stats? I think I did. Okay, so Beetlejuice, totally different take on the afterlife.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Very different.
Still people needing to work through issues of their lives.
Yeah, but they're dealing with the lost ones in Beetlejuice more.
Okay, yeah, and I want to. So this movie, real quickly, the spirits of a deceased couple are harassed by an unbearable family that has moved into their home and hire a malicious spirit to drive them out. But we love him because he's hilarious, and look at his outfit. Okay, so in this movie, I mean, I could talk all day, but I guess in relation to this one, what are the main differences to you?
Yeah, ooh, good question.
About the things that you're actually talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, the main difference, number one, would be, like, in Beetlejuice, you're dealing with souls or spirits that are stuck in this plane. Like, they're stuck. So, Gina Davis and, who was it, Alec Baldwin, or who was the...
Yeah, it's, one of the Baldwins. I think it's a, oh my God. Yeah. Alec God, Baldwin. He looks so young.
Yeah, he was cute.
Alec, you're such a baby. With your hairy chest, as always.
I liked him in that movie.
He's
so
awesome.
They are two people that, are stuck in this plane, right? So it differs
and in
because,
their like house, literally.
Yeah, in their own house, they can't leave their house. So for me, like that's not a place I would want to be when I died. I want to be in like some expansive place, you know,
much
somewhere
nicer
expansive,
house.
Like Robin Williams and What Dreams Right. Have, where just and it builds and you have power and you can create and it's all the things you loved visually, right? When
yeah.
you were alive.
Yeah,
this is a place that's like this, like stank old house with like, you know, dust and cobwebs and they're trapped in it. And then they have to share this space with this family.
It's set up for every great ghost story.
Leave. Yeah.
But
so,
flip because they're, yeah. it's not scary. They just are like, this sucks. I have
yeah.
to be in this now
with
these annoying people who
yeah.
are wrecking our house.
Yeah. yeah. So it's cool. It's what's super cool too, is looking at it from the perspective of them. I think is helpful for people like in the real world, this world, who might find themselves in a home with spirits or something.
Right.
You know, these things are real.
I know. I know some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've dealt
with
it.
Donna Petrecko.
Oh.
Listen to this episode. Okay.
Okay. You know, so it's a thing. So it helps you to kind of empathize with souls that you might think are, oh, there's ghosts in the house, you know, and be afraid of, but now you can empathize with, oh, they're kind of lost or stuck. They don't know their options.
So does this happen, really? People just get lost and they're just hanging around?
Yeah, well, most of the time it happens because they don't believe, again, it goes back to belief. Belief is so powerful. They don't believe that another place exists, so they stick around. They're so afraid to leave.
Sounds like Poltergeist to me too.
Yeah, they're afraid. It's usually, you know, fear and then lack of belief, which is, again, the same as when you're living and you're afraid to leave your town or your home. You're attached.
God, it's
to
so
it.
Crazy that hangs on.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It totally does.
That's nuts.
Yeah. So I feel like the movie helps you to empathize with those. I guess we call it ghosts. You know that can.
Yeah,
be in
it's. I love this concept, and I'm trying to think in the story, what was it that kept them stuck there? And they don't really get into it. I think it's just that they want to be in there. Maybe it's because they don't want to leave their house.
Yeah, they're comfortable there. I mean, they get back, they realize that they died, finally, and then they're just like, they kind of think it's cool at first until they learn they can't leave their house, you know? But they're fine, and then this family shows up, and they're like, wait a second, like, we can't leave. These people are changing everything. Like, we have to go to the attic, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's the only place they're not going to bother us is the attic, which is funny because in this world, you'll notice, like, basements and attics is where they tend to hang out.
That's kind of
like
funny.
The one space where, you know, where it's safe.
Yeah, and they're not seen by anyone except Winona.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is hilarious when he tries to be a ghost and put the sheet on him.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you doing? Like, what's awesome about this movie is like the way they flip the concept of what a ghost is and then the fear of it and like how she connects to them. It's really, and this is the core of Tim Burton to me, is it's this bizarro setup. It's very outlandish. It's very like, it's silly almost, some of the stuff that's going on, but there's such deep, like true connections to the storylines. And one is where this girl does not relate to her family.
Right.
Winona's like kind of a weird kid, but they're all weird. But they're not really there for her. Mm-mm. But these people become there for her. Ghosts in the house become like her, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, they help each other.
Yep.
Which I find that's the beauty of the story is that through that experience, then it helps the whole family. Mm-hmm. To me, that's what happens in the story is all this stuff is happening. But really, it's about these two people facing their situation.
Totally.
Connecting with the house people, the new owners, and then all the little. It's awesome, man. I mean, he's the way he's able to do that and still pull your heartstrings through such creative craziness. It's like. It's just amazing to me.
Yeah, so good.
It's the and no offense to the other movie, but it does it 100 times better.
Yeah. Well, it's Tim Burton.
Right?
Wait, who directed?
I don't know who that other guy was. Sorry, buddy. Vincent Ward did.
Vincent Ward. Okay, okay.
And, yeah, I mean, and it Tim was Burton. A book. Okay, so What Dreams Make Come where it was a book.
Okay.
And this guy, no offense, I'm looking at his. Sorry, Vincent. You're okay, but I don't really, some of these movies I don't get. This movie, though, was, it won an Oscar and was nominated for 2 Academy Awards.
No way.
So I should just eat my goddamn words. Tiffany.
It touched a lot of hearts.
Well, and maybe this is the point, is that what is true resonates.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in these things, guys, maybe you should take a look at that. Because it is true, this stuff, I think, about too. That. Now I do.
Yeah, just, like, opening up to what can be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big message, is, like, it's wide open what can be and belief. In the movie, it's all about what do you believe. That's what you're creating.
You're creating
what you believe.
And that's, like, manifesting, which is a whole other topic. I mean,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, that's what I have to figure out next. But
like, here, there, wherever you are, dead or alive, like, you're creating with your beliefs.
Damn.
I know. So powerful.
It is, and I think I've missed that point. I didn't allow myself permission.
Yeah, well, you only know what you know.
Okay, good point.
You only know good what point. You know.
But I think if you're not open, what's great too, and even examples like these ridiculous movies, these just movies, sorry, they're not ridiculous, but it's art, it's a movie, but art is speaking through, the avenues of people's lives and beliefs and thoughts, and, why you can believe what you believe, or you can believe in this amazing magical shit, which is like way more fun.
So much more fun
than,
like,
being like,
it shows up, like evidence shows up.
That's, oh my god, so cool. I was gonna tell you personally, but I'll share it on here because now we're just crossing over into different topics, and I told you Beetlejuice is going to be a 2-second conversation, but in the magic of Beetlejuice, so, like, I've been walking with my mom. I'm going to talk about you, even though you never listen to this and you're probably afraid to, which I would be too, but my mom and me have been walking recently the trail. And I haven't, my mom likes to sit with me and we'll talk and we sit at tables and have food and talk. But I was like, why don't we just, she walks and I'm like, let's walk. We never walk.
Yeah.
So we've been walking the trail, and now for like the third occasion, we have had the most insane butterfly experiences.
Mm.
One time we went and these two butterflies would not leave us, literally not. They were like hovering around our heads for so long on the trail, and they were huge, and I was like, these freaking butterflies are not going away.
Wow.
And then it happened again, and then yesterday a blue butterfly that was so big and vibrant just landed in front of us and it would not leave. And I took like 20 pictures of it because I was like,
wow,
what's happening? And then my mother is a big believer in, my mom comes from a more religious background, but she's a big believer in angels. Huge believer in angels from her childhood.
Me too.
Huge. And I was like, well, maybe it's somebody we know, like Nan. And she's like, no, Tiffany, they're angels.
Aww.
And she could not stop shutting about, like, sorry. And she texted me later and was like, look up the, I just looked this up.
The blue butterfly.
Yeah. And she's like, this is so crazy, Tiffany. And I was like,
what was it?
I mean, should I read to you what it says?
Yeah, I'm sure.
One of the things she sent me said, and it's funny that I actually copied it down.
I know.
I never do this.
You needed the message.
Blue butterflies are very rare, so when a blue butterfly lands on you, it's a special message to listen. Blue is a rare color to show up in the natural world, so if a blue butterfly lands on you, it means you are on a unique journey. Your path will look different from anything anyone has ever seen. That's like saying a lot, but the message is anyone's ever seen. Woo. The message is to finally let yourself out of the box that society has made for you and start living your truth. You will guide others to express themselves freely once you show them it can be done.
Oh. That is beautiful.
Is that true? I mean, I was just like,
yes.
And I thought, holy shit, man. Hell, if that is like, but what's cool about it is that I would normally probably not pay attention to these things.
Yeah.
Since I've opened myself up to these things, I notice them.
Yep.
And now I'm getting more of them.
Yep.
Which I know you're like, just, she's just like, yeah, of course, Tiffany.
No, I'm
no,
not.
No, I'm joking.
It's always exciting for me when people's, you know, eyes open and like the illusions come down, the curtains come down, the goggles are tossed off, and then you're seeing things with wonder. Like, I think it's, I'm always excited when people wake up.
I'm like starting to really get it. And I just think for me, it's been a not allowing myself to be, it's like a squashing of my own self that I wasn't allowing it. But now I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
And I have to thank you because you're part of that reason.
Yeah.
You know, it's other people that have helped me get here. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this, guys, this is supposed to be a movie podcast, but maybe this conversation opens you.
Yeah.
Or it allows you to see more than what you might be seeing and question it. Because I don't think these movies happen by accident.
Nope, they don't.
Mm-mm. No, because they are trying to speak to us. Yeah. And I know that even being an artist myself, they just come out of you. You don't know why you even tell a story like that.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly. Channeling. And a lot of movie directors, writers will say that, oh, this came to me when I was sleeping, when I was dreaming, or I was in meditation, or they go away, you know, to the mountains alone, and it just flows through them. They're channeling from somewhere.
Doody, 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 doody.
Whatever that is. Some call it God. Some call it, you know, higher consciousness, whatever it is. But they're channeling. And it's we start to find that once we plug in and we open up, we're connected to the same source.
So cool.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Well, I don't want to keep you, but
yeah.
I'll leave it on one last note. If you can, real quick, give me one of your favorite scenes in Beetlejuice. You don't have to explain it too much.
Beetlejuice. Okay.
And I'll do one for Beetlejuice too.
Favorite scene. So what just popped in my mind? I mean, this is silly, but the very end of the movie when Lydia comes into her power and she's like in control of everything around her. And then the song comes on and she's like floating and dancing and she's just bright and joyful and free and powerful. Like, I just love that. It's like, in the end, after disconnecting from her parents and the lack of identity that she felt when she was with them, now she's in herself, in her identity, and she's in her power, and it's just joyful and musical and
just
she's
like
literally
you.
Floating.
Yeah.
I love that
Yeah,
scene.
It's like you and your power. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an awesome
that scene.
I have too many, but I'm just going to bring this one up because yours. It's morbid or it's weird. But my favorite part when I was younger was when they finally got into like the where all the people are, like the dead people.
Yeah.
And there's like different shapes and sizes and like the lady with the smoking.
Like the elevator shaft.
Yes, like
that.
Where they have to go talk to this certain person. I forget what they call that place they have to go to. I don't know why. That was just super funny.
I like that too.
And I loved how creative it was.
Yeah.
I'll do two. I love the dinner.
Right, with the bride and groom scene.
Well,
I thought you were going to say
all of it too. The dinner
scene.
Where everything goes
the
and the art
hands,
attacks the people.
Yeah, the shrimp hands.
Yes, like the whole thing. That whole scene is so awesome. But the whole movie is so awesome, so I can't. But you're right. That is like the key scene, and I think.
Yeah. Well, that scene goes to show like how when you have malicious intent, it can backfire.
Yes.
Right. Because like that couple wasn't bothering anybody. Right. And they like decided to try to take control and overpower them, but in turn, like, it backfired.
And it wasn't their nature.
No, it wasn't their nature.
They kept trying to be somebody they weren't.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they realized they couldn't do that.
Yep.
Wow, what an awesome... This has been awesome.
so fun.
So thanks for being here. Please come back.
Yeah, of course. I love
Anytime,
movies. We can talk superhero movies another
please,
time.
Please, I have so
I
many...
I love superhero movies.
I have always loved superhero movies. Seriously. And I'm weirdly, not to diss Marvel, everyone in my family, my kids get mad at me.
Yeah.
Why don't you like Marvel? I like Marvel. I love X-Men. Because
I love X-Men.
I'm an X-Men
me
person.
Too. I love them all. I do too,
but I don't know why. There's something like about X-Men, maybe because it's darker and I like gravitate towards the dark. But yes. And Wolverine will also.
Magneto.
And I've just always been a Jean Grey. Wolverine fan. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, all of them. I love all of them. And then I would love to talk about Venom because I love Venom. The movie, I don't know if you saw most recent one with
I need to see that
guy's name, Tom Hardy.
I need to see that.
So good.
All right, we're going to do a superhero podcast for sure. guys, enjoy your day.
Thank you
for having me. Go find magic on the trail or on the street or in anywhere. You just have to look around.
Yep. Amen.
And don't be afraid of ghosts, I guess. I mean, that's what we're saying. Yeah. Right? I mean,
yeah, don't be afraid.
Try not to, if you can.
They're just confused. They could use your help.
Awesome. All right. Well, and everyone, I will leave all the info for you, Athena.
Yeah.
And please come back next time if you want to be on the show and you're local to the Rehoboth Beach area. Reach out. You're welcome to come on. Don't be afraid. It's just a microphone. I'm pretty cool, even though I might sound weird on here. So just do that. And I'll see you guys next time. Thanks so much for joining us.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye. When the sun hangs low in the west and the light in my chest won't be kept held at bay any longer. When the jealousy fades away and it's ash and dust for cash and lust, and it's just hallelujah. And love and thought, love and the word.